All right, gang. Well, if you're on the line, that means you're qualifying for your diploma for your 10-week successful completion of this mentor course. And again, you know what we're doing this for. We're trying to get everybody to become better. And so if you are in a leadership role, perhaps maybe you can duplicate this program, and maybe you will in the future. So let's take a look at our homework, our last homework assignment. And really, it was a simple one, going into a store and asking, why do you work here? And if you're in my shoes, Steve's shoes, anybody that's been wearing the apron for a while, you learn how to do this. You learn that this is what we do when we go in stores. We just go to the back, and usually it's the sprinkler, maybe it's the wrapper, and we just say, hey, why do you work here? And really, it's going to tell us a whole lot. And the words do matter, and generally, when we hear the word love, and that's pretty what we were fishing for. We were fishing for that word love. When we hear, I love it here, I love the people here, I love my boss, these are the indicators that something good is happening in this culture and that, you know, there's going to be some coaching available here. So just a few input. Obviously, the typical, we had the word love come through. Here's one I've been working. The manager here, he's young, upbeat, motivated, so I asked him why he works here. He responded by the biggest smile on his face and said, I love making subs. I love talking to people. I love Jersey Mike's. And here was the caveat on this one. Jersey Mike's, this job is so easy I could hire monkeys and pay them in bananas if I could. But the health department won't let me. Well, I don't think the health department really cares, but actually that made somebody's day. And that's what we had. Mostly that's what we were hearing, something like that. She told me she was working for many reasons, but the most important one was that she was part of a family. She was working with people, and she loved the people around her. Previously worked at Taco Bell, and that was not the same atmosphere. We also heard a couple times, quality of life, love the boss, and probably the last one I think we got in there was, it's nice to help out someone's day. So when it's positive like that, we know good things are happening. Most of the time, we assume this is happening. Sometimes it doesn't show up on our comment cards that what's happening, the experience may be lacking. So we're always trying to get better at that. And remember, why do we work? We look to the saints, my favorite, St. Thomas Aquinas. There can be no joy in life without joy in work. Mother Teresa, remember her, work without love is slavery. And we can go on and on with those. But at any rate, let's look at our lesson for today. And this is a lesson, we're going to finish up with communication. We all know about communication. Most important thing is communication. We hear about this, but we're going to dig into a section of this, as we refer to as the nonverbals. The nonverbals. And so we're going to start off with just a little quote. This is not your quote officially today, but from Ralph Waldo Emerson. What you do speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you say. What you do speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say. Remember we talked about the everyone says example is big. My favorite poem I recite quite a bit about, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Those are all part of what we call here the nonverbal behaviors, nonverbal language. So let's just start off with a personal posture audit. Don't anybody move. And just examine yourself. Where are you sitting right now? How are you sitting? Are you slouched over? Do you have your chin in your hand? Is your chest out, chin up, head held high, that kind of thing? So really what we're saying is we have to start really talking more to ourselves about our own awareness, our own posture awareness, and people's awareness, people's posture telling us a message, telling us a story. And, you know, especially when we see the shoulders or the shoulders back. We're going to get to this back in a second, but a lot of you know I used to work on the road. One of my jobs working with San Francisco 49ers back in the day, Bill Walsh was the coach. 1985, they won the Super Bowl. I usually say I was part of that. I take a little credit in some of that. But all joking aside, really, this guy was a big, big promoter of posture. And he actually wrote a book, and the book was Posture Predicts Performance. Posture Predicts Performance. And he used to say that, you know, if you didn't walk into a room like you owned it, if you didn't walk into a room, and it wasn't just the posture, it was how you walked. It was your style. It was really how you moved in general. You hear Peter talking about this all the time, you know. I don't like this person. You know, I don't like the way he moves. I don't like he, you know, he's too slow. Or, you know, he doesn't have that confidence. And it really does tell us a lot, even the way we walk, how we're communicating. And so we say the nonverbals govern how others think and feel about us, but what about ourselves? How do we think we're going through a room? What do you think about your nonverbals? And so here's a quick lesson, and this comes from an old research paper. And it starts out by saying, our minds change our bodies. Hard to argue that. You've heard that what the mind conceives, the body achieves. So our minds change our bodies. But actually, in the research, there's this little concept known as power posing. Now, power posing actually predicts, kind of contradicts that and says, no, actually, your body posture can change your mind. And there's a really cool research study out there. And just visualizing your head right now, you're standing up like Superman with your hands on your hips. So yeah, you're standing up, chin's high, you've got your hands on your hips, and you're looking in the mirror. And you're saying, I'm going to get this job. This was a work study on job interviews. You're talking to yourself. And what happened is they actually took that into the laboratory and they swabbed these people for testosterone and cortisol. And lo and behold, it only took some 2 minutes to actually change their thinking, change the way they thought, based on just their posture in this power pose, the Superman pose, Superwoman pose, however you want to call it. But it actually works. You can actually talk yourself into it without even talking, so to speak. So even the poses that we do communicate something to the world that we live in. If you went to Benedictine College, you've heard this 10 times, but you have to take an ethics course. Now, I don't know if anybody's taken an ethics course. God bless you if you did. I had no idea I had to take all these mandatory courses, 9 hours of philosophy in a liberal arts college. Almost quit. But here you had taken this ethics course, and I'll never forget, I still have the notes. And this was a course, and it was called the Ethical Analyst. Now, stay with me. This is going to make sense in a second here. But the question of the course was, this was a semester course, and the question we had to answer from an ethical standpoint was, is it wrong to lie? Is it wrong to lie? Now, this is not an interactive course here. You can't say yes or no, but I'm going to give you the answer. I think you know what the answer is. Yes, it is wrong to lie. I have one little book sitting here that I picked up a few years back. It's called Lying, because it's kind of a fun hobby for me. But is it wrong to lie? Yes. How about white lies? Yes. How about big lies? Yes. How about lying in general? Yes. And, you know, you don't have to be an expert at this, but I can still remember the day I said, oh, I'm done. I'm done. My man, Lance Armstrong, lied. Ruined his life. Tiger Woods, lied. Ruin his life. We can go through all of these. Probably the most popular one, and actually in politics they even call it, did you give him a Clinton? If you love the guy or not, Bill Clinton, did he lie? You can Google the interview, and he's the classic example of lying. Not only what he said, but how he was looking. And so you learn how to actually see how people are deceptive by their facial expressions, not just what they're saying. And even him, he gave it away right early when he said, I did not have sex with that woman. That's a clear indicator how we're not associating anybody personally. So we disassociate. It's not really that hard to do. And I tell a lot of my friends when I was in the fitness business, I used to train the Topeka Police Department and the SWAT team. And one of my buddies was actually an interrogator. And he was one of the guys that first turned me on to, you know, learning if people are lying. And he would say, yeah, that guy's lying. And I was intrigued by someone. How do you know? And so he had his coursework, and we're going to hit that in another second. But I remember one of the things for sure that he did was he would sit in an interrogation, and he would have somebody tell the story chronologically. Tell me what happened. Tell me how it happened. Tell me exactly how it happened. And so this person would tell him what happened next. And at the end, they'd get a drink of water, and they say, okay, now we're gonna do it backwards. And a lot of times, the chronic liar had a problem with that. But even some of the better liars. And so we're going to talk about some red flags that we know about. It's not an exact science, but it is something useful, even in our business. And it's funny because the latest guy in our news, this guy, this actor from New Jersey, this is Jussie Smollett, I believe is his name, Jussie Smollett. I don't know if you've seen it, followed any of this. He's in trouble. He claimed that two guys jumped him, called him racial things, and put a noose around his neck, and he got the whole world up in a roar. And I remember when they interviewed him on GMA, and I saw the interview, and I was sitting with my wife, and I said, that guy is lying. And she's like, well, what do you mean? Because we don't talk about him much, but it was, look at his eyes. Watch how he stops right here. And it's that left brain. One of the key indicators is when you go left. You go up to the left brain and start thinking. And that's just one of the indicators. Again, it's lips, it's intonation. You kind of learn how to do this, especially if you're a parent. But it is useful and sometimes helpful in our jobs. And, you know, we're going to get to more of this non-verbal communication. But actually, there's a book out. It's on my shelf. Came out probably 10 years ago called Lie Spotting. And it was, you know, again, a hobby of mine. And it's the science of deception. And it all leads to learning non-verbals. How do we see and learn from people what they're saying non-verbally? Not that it has to be a lie by any means, but the facial recognition, obviously, we know, all red flags. But it really gets back to the culture that we're designing. Do we really want people that are decent? And do we really want people that have character and integrity? And if that's the case, which everybody says, yeah, I want a team that builds character. I want a team that we can trust. Well, then we have to understand the falsehoods that come along with it because they're there. And so sometimes it's a hard business, but sometimes we have people that will deceive, call it what you want, but they grew up lying, and they didn't know better. And a lot of cases, we know that kids, you do the research, and at a very young age, kids learn how to lie. It's a self-defense mechanism. And so, you know, there's a famous video out there, too, of a little two-year-old kid, and, you know, he took the cookie, and the researcher comes back in and says, hey, did you take the cookie? No. No, I didn't take it. And there's chocolate chips all over his face. You know, it's all over his mouth. They don't even know. It's just kind of a default sometimes. But we have to teach that. You study kids, you learn a lot about lying. But how are we communicating these days? And I love John Hughes, who works with us. And he's saying that we're going back to the caveman era. And what he says by that is that, you know, now we're communicating with emojis. I'm guilty of that all the time. We're using emojis to communicate. We don't even use words. Is that good? Is that bad? It's what it is right now. So, you know, we've got to understand. And sometimes those emojis can be looked at differently. So, again, how are we communicating? So, we know we've talked about how words matter. Words have tremendous power. I know I may or may not have shared the old mother motto. Listen, Keith, if sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And she really lied, because names will hurt you. Name callings will hurt you. And it goes back to that old proverb, a good person produces good thoughts from the treasury of a good heart. So how does that fit in here? Well, again, we need to understand, read people's body language. We know if somebody's slumped over, they're not having a good day. We know that what you're promoting as you walk into a room is communicating. And we know that people are lying to us. How do you like it when people lie to you? So we really want to work on our deception sometimes, and that is a big deal when we're communicating. It's not just the posture. It's the clothes we wear, telling a story. It's your haircut. Am I wearing glasses? It's the smile. It's the tattoos. But we know that nonverbal communication tells us a lot, and it's a lot more than words. And I'm going to give you what I believe is the most important nonverbal that you can use that will benefit everyone around you, and not only yourself, And I think Steve Capestro had the research on this one once before on how many muscles it takes to smile. And so when we say smiling, when you smile, that is one of the great universal laws of attraction. And in our business, that's what we want. We don't want the opposite. We don't want the frown. We don't want the deception. And so here's our usable quote, our last one, and from an old buddy of mine named Bruce Lee. Just kidding. Love that guy, though. And he's got about 1,000 quotes. I've never seen, he's got more quotes than the Dalai Lama. But one of my favorite he has is, don't pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure a difficult one. So we're always praying for strength. So hopefully, if you're on the call, you got a little something out of this past 10 weeks. I'm very proud of everybody that did, even if you made 8. If you missed a homework assignment, still love you. If you got a C+, you still win, although we didn't grade anybody. Then whatever happened to that anyway? Isn't C average? That's right, Steve, but nobody wants to be average. But I'm going to ask you one last favor before we email you your diploma. It's in the final design phase right now from the great Jesse Gulyas. We are going to ask you 3 questions, please, for an evaluation. This is so I can keep my job. Not really, just kidding. So the first question is, and just a quick email, we're not going to do a Survey Monkey, just make it simple, just old school. What would you change about the program? Number 2 question, what did you most and least like? And number 3 question, what was your biggest takeaway? And so with that, we say arrivederci one last time. Very happy to have everybody understand what we're trying here, and I hope you can duplicate this some point in time in your workplace, wherever you go. Ta-ta.